figure out what I wanted to make a title of it, because I thought, well, the man of God who would not quit, or the man of God who took the devil's best shot. I thought one of those two things there. But, you know, when I studied this, and it's incredible because there's 42 chapters about Job, and then there's other references in the Bible, and it's talking about his life. And I think about this, and I just wonder if, how would you, I'd like to see a show of hands, and probably you wouldn't want to raise your hands, who would like their name or their life displayed in 42 chapters? Your associations, who you talk to, your conversations and such like that. You probably wouldn't want to do that, would you? That's incredible. Because, you know, you look at David and you find out that he had a lot of things written about him, but there was a lot of bad things written about him. But when you look at Job, it's an incredible story there, because what you have is, and you can look all the way through the Bible, and that's the only book, at least that I found, that starts out how good he is. Now, can you imagine that? Here, the introduction to who you are is that this man is a good man. Then what's going to follow after that? You know, you always wonder, you can only go so high, and then you have to start digressing. So let's take a look at the book of Job, and we're going to look there, and I want to point out four things, and I was struggling with it because there's so much information in here, so it may not be the way I was taught how to teach, so forgive me, I'm just going to try to hit the points, okay? But Job chapter 1, we see there in verse 1, in the land of Uz there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. Right away we see this is the first verse, and it tells you who he is. And I look at this and I just think, wow, this man was incredible. It doesn't say anything else. It says right there who he was, where he lived, and it says this guy was a godly man. Now, you look at this and you see there the first one, it says that Job was blameless. He was blameless. And that, the Hebrew there, means that complete, morally, pious. He was gentle. He was dear. And I think about this, and you know, a lot of times you meet somebody, and they're just a little bit shady. And you just kind of wonder about their Christian life. Just a little bit about it. Like, where was that guy when he was supposed to be in church? Oh, I think he was out golfing. Or, you know, and you just kind of wonder about their dedication. But, you know, with Job, you knew he was going to be in church. If he wasn't in church, it's because something drastic was happening. He was in hospital, or he was at home and he was throwing up, or some terrible thing, and he couldn't make it there. He was blameless. Now, we go on and we see that he was upright. That means he was a person that was straight, always doing things right. And it's a shame, because I know sometimes Christians will go and they will just try to bend things just a little bit. Just a tiny bit. And I think about Job, and it says that he was upright. And the definition means that he was going to do it right, whether it was going to hurt him or not, he was going to do what was right. And we look at our own life, we say, well, what about us? Are we kind of a little shady? We're kind of bending things just a little bit here or a little bit there. Well, let's go on. It says, the next one is feared. Feared God. Now, you look at this in the Hebrew there, means he feared God morally. He was reverent. How many times you hear Christians will say euphemisms like golly and gee, and I hate even to repeat those things, but that's irreverent. You are making fun of God. And I see that where it says he feared God. So he was a guy that respected. When he talked about God, he respected God. He wasn't going to make a joke about God or anything like that. He was going to put full respect on him. And I see that and I say, wow, you know, This man was awesome. This man was a guy that, in fact, as I was studying this out, that is one of the men that I want to meet first when I go to heaven. I want to say, boy, you gave me an example that I know you serve the same God, and you know, you inspired me to be faithful all the way to the very end. You see here, it says, then it says he shunned evil. Shunned evil. You ever had it when you went up to somebody, you went to shake their hand, and they wouldn't even acknowledge you? So you just kind of rub your hair and scratch. And you feel really, really about this big, you know? And you just think, oh man, that didn't feel good. Wonder if anyone else was watching, you know? And you're just thinking, oh, that's a terrible feeling. Well, what Job did was he shunned evil. All right, so he didn't give anybody a time of day. If it was evil, he wasn't going there. And that's what we're talking, you know, I've heard about social drinking. Don't go there. Shun it. Turn away from it. Or smoking, you know, or just chewing and you know, looking at ungodly things and listening to ungodly music and such like that. And shun it. Now here you have Job. He was doing this. He had an awesome life. And you know how it is when you have an awesome life, it's easy to do good, isn't it? It's real easy. Because you don't have to, that person is sheltered. That person is sheltered. So if anything happens to them, then we'll see if he's really faithful. Well, let's continue here, and as we read, we're going to find out how wealthy he was and how blessed he was. And verse 2 says, he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. So he had, you know, lots of sons and lots of daughters. And he was just all excited about his sons and daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. Can you imagine being the greatest person, but on top of that, you were a man of God? Imagine that. You had everything. I think of that as heaven. You know, you have everything. You have God with you. You have your children with you. You have all these things that you ever wanted. And Job had that. Well, then, verse 4, and I want to concentrate a little bit on verse 4 and 5, because I think sometimes what happens here is we give a lot of effort when our children are small, but when they get big, we just turn them loose and just say, well, that's their opinion or that's their choice. I did my very best. Just take a look at verse 4. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. Now, this doesn't sound too good, does it? Here you got 7 brothers, and you got 3 sisters, and they're all going to different people's houses. So this one son one day, and then this other the next, and they're just gathering together, and it's just not a really good thing. Verse 5 says, when a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. Now, I looked up regular custom, and it actually means to do it continually. So like today, tomorrow, and just never stop. What we have here is Job. He was a man of God. Here, he had a lot of things on his table, as it were. He had all these donkeys, all these camels, and all these servants. So he was a very, very busy man. But yet, you notice that he made sure that he was keeping track of his children. And when we look at this, we realize that these children were already grown. Now, a lot of times we really focus on when you train a child when they're young. And so we really focus on that part. But I want to remind you that each one of us are going somewhere, either to heaven or to hell. And if you remember when your child was born, your firstborn and your second and however many you have, and you held that baby, and hopefully you felt that enormous awareness that this person is going to go to heaven or to hell. And I know when I was younger and I had my child and I was holding my firstborn and I was holding her and I thought, Lord, you know, I've got a big responsibility. Give me wisdom. Give me power. Give me courage to help her along so that she makes the right decisions. Now she's 18 years old. That was the other day. You know, I think about that. The other day was 18 years ago, and she's still going to go to heaven or to hell. But I have all kinds of other stuff to do. I have to do this and that. You know how many times you hear that? When they say, spend time with your children. Oh, I have so many other things to do. I don't have time. What about Job? Didn't he have a lot of things to do? If you had that many cattle and that many donkeys and servants and all these things, you had a lot to do. But it says he regularly did this. He followed, he kept track of his children. He made sure and he offered up sacrifices all the time for each one of them. That's 10 of them. I have 2 and I think that's a lot. You know, and I think about 10 children, and I think, you know, he was thinking daily about heaven and hell and his children. And you know, our children sometimes are going to make the wrong decisions, and it's going to hurt. But what I see out of Job is a person that does not give up. And you see him day after day continually praying for them and just trying his best to persuade them to do what is right. You know how it is. It's real easy to think your children are the best. Don't you think? Oh, look at my child. Look at, oh, he's just so good at this and she's so, you know. You just go on and on and you just, and sometimes you'll see, you go to the sports things, and the dad is over there yelling and screaming for their child to do this, and they are never, they, the dad was never an athlete, but you know, he's living that athleticism through his son, and he's just going, go, go. And I'm thinking, man, I wish you'd get that excited about heaven or hell. And I see Job here. Blameless, upright, fearing God, shunning evil, and keeping track of his children. I tell you what, my children are the best thing that I have as far as ownership. I have my wife. She's right along with me. She's my partner. But you can have my car. You can have my house, you can have my bank account, haha, if you want that. You can have anything you want, but you can't have my children. And you know what, devil? You're not going to get my children. I'm going to try my very best. And I encourage each one of you to try your very best. If your children have fallen away, you still try. They got a soul. Don't just say, oh, well, that's up to them. You remember what happened to Eli? Wasn't he responsible for his children? What about Samuel, the little one that delivered the message to Eli? His children had fallen away, and he was in trouble for that. You see, a lot of times we want to carry it just only till they're 18. But just because they turn 18 doesn't mean they stop going to heaven or to hell. And that's what we need to do, is we need to pray. And we need to pray for wisdom. And sometimes we say, well, you know, I've really done a bad thing because maybe I turned them away from God because maybe I was a little harsh on them and so now they won't even talk to me. Well, pray for them. fast for them. I think about Noah, and you think about how long it was when he was making that ark. Do you think that they were faithful those 100-something years? I don't think so. I think they had Shem and Japheth, they kind of once in a while went away, and Noah had to reel them back in. 100-something years. But when they went into the ark, what? They were saved. And when our life is over, or when Christ comes back and we go into heaven, what an awesome feeling that will be. What an awesome feeling. You know, I think about Job and I just marvel. I hear some people and they're just so busy. Kids are a nuisance. Oh, I just can't do things I used to do. I can't wait till they move out. I'm scared. My daughter's moving out. You know? Can you stay a little longer? Because there's heaven and there's hell. You know, I think about this and I think, Job, you know, I just thank you so much for this example. Because in just those five verses tells me a lot about him. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go on and we're going to continue talking about Job here. And so we're talking about his concern about his children's destination. Well, one of the things that I gather from the next couple of verses here is there's a big battle going on over each of your souls every day. You get up in the morning, a lot of times you feel irrelevant, don't you? Get up in the morning, you just feel, oh, beautiful day, the birds are cheering, you know, all this stuff, and you're, this is just so great of a day, and everything, you feel like, oh, you're on top of this world, and, oh, I'm going to heaven. But the next day, you get up, and you got a big old headache and everything, and you know how emotions are, don't you? All right, so one day you feel saved, the other day you don't feel saved. But you know what? You can't go by your feelings. We're emotional people. But you see the devil, even way back, has been battling God for each person's soul. So when you get up in the morning and you don't say a prayer and you don't go and read the Bible and you don't get hooked up with God in the morning, you make it real easy for devil to beat you that day. Because you have a battle going on. And you know, like the cartoons, they always have that little devil and then they have the little angel and stuff. It's more serious than that. Because you don't know when you're going to live or you're going to die. You don't know. A lot of times we just say, oh, well, that's the next person. Let's look here, verse 6. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. It's interesting. You got the angels, and you got Satan. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth, through Colorado, Nebraska, California." Isn't that right? And going back and forth in it. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." You know, I like this here because I don't know. I just get a sense of pride that God has in Job. He says, look at this guy. He's doing a good job. He loves me. He's living his very best. And you know, it's just like that father that is pointing out, yeah, look at this, is my boy, you know. And that's what God is doing here. He says, look, have you checked out this guy? Have you looked at Job? And then Satan says something. He says, verse 9, does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then. Everything he has in your hands, but on the man himself, do not lay a finger. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. I want you to notice something about this. It's pretty interesting. Satan has to ask for permission, and God only allows him to do so much. Each one of us can take so much. God knows that breaking point. And that's why when sometimes we say, oh, I can't take it anymore, whatever we're going through. Yes, you can, because God allowed Satan to keep pushing you to that part. You see, that's what happened with Job. Job was an awesome man. He was strong in the faith. He was blameless. He was upright. And here, Job, he was innocent. He was enjoying himself. He had all these children. And he was just having a good time with life and praising God because of it. But little did he know what was going to hit. God says, you can only go so far. Well, this is the sad part of the story. It says, one day, verse 13, when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby. The Sabaeans attacked and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from the sky and burned the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans had formed their three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship. How many of us could have this happen to us and we fall on our knees and worship God? You see, this happened bang, 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 bang. This wasn't something that happened over time. It was one after the other. And you know how it is, some days you have days where things don't go well, and it just seems like, I better go back to bed and try again, you know? It's just like, well, this was worse than that. It was terrible because he lost everything he owned, and worst of all, he lost his children. What did he do? Here he was a man that loved God. He praised God. He was blameless. He was upright. Remember, he was upright. He did what was right. Most of us, what we do, when one thing happens, we're like, Lord, why does it always happen to me? Why can't it happen to so-and-so? He always has things, good things happening. And that guy, he smokes a pipe all the time. He's drinking all the time. And he's just, you know what the Bible says? Don't envy the sinner. So if you see this guy having a good time, don't even worry about that. Then when something bad happens to you, you won't be tempted to say, but God, look at this guy. Job fell down on his knees and he just worshiped God. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I'll depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Isn't that incredible? I think about this and I just think, Lord, I don't know the future. I don't know what lies ahead. But I do know that I believe that each one of us is going to suffer a persecution in the United States of America. You realize that with our present president, he has passed more laws and degraded our society in his 100 years than all the other presidents. That's change. That's the wrong kind of change. And you know, at that rate, if he goes 4 years and then another 4 years, 8 years, you know where our country's going to be? It's going to be worse than our financial situation. We're going to just print money worse spiritually. And you know what that means? They're coming after us. And when we preach against the homosexuals, guess what? We're going to be let out. And when we preach about anything that upsets someone else, we're going to be let out. And I believe it's going to be in my generation. And that's unfortunate, but I believe that because it's going so fast. Sometimes I say, Lord, come quickly. But then again, I say, you know, Lord, you know what you're doing. Peter says what? He says that I haven't come here because, why? Because he has incredible patience. That everybody come to repentance. So I say, hey, everybody that wants to come to repentance, hurry up. No. But you know, I think about this, and I just think, you know, we need to be men and women of God. Amen. That when tough times hit, let's act like Christians. Amen. Let's be strong. You know, we have the second test, and I got 3 minutes. We got the second test, and what we have here is he loses everything around him, but this next test is himself, his health. I don't know if you ever had a health problem, but when you have a health problem, it kind of messes up your outlook in life. If you have a health problem and a pain problem, because he had health and pain, that's even worse. He had it from the top to the bottom. So that means when he went to bed, he laid on these sores. When he stood up and he walked, he made the sores rub against each other. Whatever he did, that sore was there. And what did he do? He still worshiped God. Now, speeding along here, he has three friends. I don't know if you call them friends, but there's three friends. And when you read that, it says, they heard about the troubles and they came to sympathize with him and console him. But when they got there, they looked at him and he looked terrible. He was out there rubbing his sores with the pottery, the broken pottery, and they looked at him and they were just shocked. Have you ever been to a hospital where you went to go visit a loved one, and they don't look like that loved one? That's what happened to Job. They go to their best buddy, and they have good intentions, and they go over there, and they just stare at him for 3 days. Have you ever had anybody stare at you? I remember when I was a little kid, and one of the big things was we had a little Plymouth Valiant, 1964 Plymouth Valiant. It had little, I don't know what it was, little vinyl things. The cloth, okay? So there was three of them. At the time, there was three kids, okay? So we designated that we all stayed in our little area, okay? So we put the littlest guy, Adam, in the middle. So he was in the middle and the two bigger ones on the side. Well, we wouldn't touch each other, but one would stare at the other. And guess what would happen? Mom, so-and-so is looking at me. That's as a little kid. Can you imagine if you're sitting there, you're hurting all over, and you have three guys just looking at you? Just look at there. They didn't say a word. Now, every once in a while, they might nudge each other and say, hey, he does look bad, doesn't he? Oh, yeah, he does. He looks worse than I thought. Yeah. Do you think he's going to come out of it? Oh, I don't know about that. You know, can you imagine that? That must have been misery for him. But that was only the beginning, because all the other chapters, all the way to 42, they just attacked him. And in 30 seconds, you know what? Sometimes we're going to get attacked as Christians by other Christians. And I've talked to so many people that have fallen away, and they said, the reason I left, I got attacked by the other Christian. We can't get along, so I left. What I want you to do is that I want each one of you to realize that your relationship should be with God. And if someone else attacks you, you still focus on God like Job did. And so he got it to heaven, and he walked over there, and he says, shook the first guy's hand. He says, thank you for making it so hard to get here. But you know, I think about that. Sometimes Christians make it hard for Christians to make it to heaven. But the only way we're going to make it, because you know what God says? He says, bear with one another, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. That means we're going to get under the nerve, doesn't it? But we don't have to be the bearer, do we? No, we don't. Son God, let us stand.